Pitamah Which is now awakened,
by the Father,
Pitamahena, and Grandfather, Justam, executed, Va, Yor, Pitamahi, by the great grandfathers. Translation of the path of good news traversed by your father, grandfather, and great-grandfathers is that of maintaining the subjects, including men, animals, and trees. That is the path you should follow. Unnecessary anger is contrary to your duty, therefore I request you to control your anger. Report, hear the words, Pitra, Pita, Mahina, Pijastamba, Papita, Mahai, depict an honest royal family consisting of the kings, their father, the great-grandfather, and the great-great-grandfathers. Such a royal family has a prestigious position because it maintains the citizens or prajas. The word praja refers to one who has taken birth within the jurisdiction of the government. The exalted royal family is conscious that all living beings, whether human, animal, or lower than animal, should be given protection. The modern democratic system cannot be exalted in this way because leaders elected strive only for power and no sense of responsibility. In a monarchy, a king with a prestigious position follows the great deeds of his forefathers. Thus, Soma, the king of the moon, here reminds the Prachetas about the glories of their father, grandfather, and great-grandfathers. Text 12, as the father and mother, the friends and maintainers of their children, as the eyelid is protector of the eye, as the husband is maintainer and protector of a woman, as the householder is the maintainer and protector of beggars, and as the learned is the friend of the ignorant, so the king is a protector and giver of life to all of his subjects. The trees are also subjects of the king, therefore they should be given protection. Prepared by the supreme will of the personality of God, there are various protectors and maintainers for helpless living entities. The trees are also considered prajas, subjects of the king, and therefore the duty of the monarch is to protect even the trees, not to speak of others. The king is duty-bound to protect the living entities in his kingdom. Thus, although the parents are directly responsible for the protection and maintenance of their children, the duty of the king is to see that all parents do their duty properly. Similarly, the king is also responsible for overseeing the other protectors mentioned in this verse. It may also be noted that the beggars, who should be maintained by the householders, are not professional beggars, but sannyasis and brahmanas, to whom the householder should supply food and clothing. Translation is the father and mother, the friends and maintainers of their children, as the eye is protector of the eye, as the husband is maintainer and protector of a woman, as the householder is a maintainer and protector of the beggars, and as the learner is the friend of the ignorant, so the king is a protector and giver of life to all his subjects. The trees are also subjects of the king, therefore they should be given protection. So this is Soma's rationalization for convincing the Prachetas to stop burning up the trees because of anger. It was already mentioned that Soma was the devata who is responsible for growth in all the plants. So, in this way, the god of the moon has some interest in getting the trees protected, because he is more or less their deity or whatever, who gives them support. But the reason behind that, of course, is that without the trees, the other and other plants, the animals and the human being cannot survive. So temporarily they may cut down all the trees and plant wheat or rice or something, that we may think that's very good. But we can't do that to an extreme degree, because that will also cause disturbance to the whole world. So everything has to be done with great consideration. So he gives a good example here of responsibility in terms of protection. So everybody protects somebody else. So fathers and mothers protect their children. The eyelid protects the eye. The husband protects the wife. The householders or grihasthas protect the deserving wanderer who has no shelter, the traveler. The learned give knowledge to the ignorant. And similarly, the king must protect the citizens. So, we know that some of these are actually instituted as laws in the Vedic Varnashram system. The husband protects the wife, and the mother and father protect the children. Of course, there are rules for that. It's also a universal principle. So we see that all mothers and fathers protect the children, no matter whether they're Vedic or non-Vedic. Of course, then we have things like the householder taking care of the wandering traveler. So that's his duty, to take care of the guest in the house. And we see, of course, that the brahmacharis would go out begging from the householders, and then the householders had to give them something. So that is the begging aspect. And anyone who is deserving, a qualified person, should be welcomed into the house and given food and shelter. So that's the duty of the householder in general, no matter what varna they're in. They have to give protection to the traveler. So, and the other is, of course, the those who have knowledge give knowledge to the ignorant. So in other words, the teacher has to teach all sorts of people. That's his responsibility. So, similarly, the king has a responsibility. And king's duty is kshatriya. Kshatriya means one who protects. So the duty of the king is particularly protection of everybody in that kingdom. So we have local protection, the father and mother protect the children. But, of course, a householder protects the strangers as well. So the king protects everyone in his kingdom, not only the human beings, but the animals and the plants. So he has a very wide sense of responsibility. And as Prabhupada has mentioned, not only the human beings, also the animals and even the plants. Everything has to be carefully maintained in proper order. Undue, unreasonable destruction cannot take place on any level. So the animals cannot be unnecessarily killed, or the trees and plants cannot be unnecessarily killed. And of course, human beings cannot be unnecessarily killed. So there are all rules in the system, the Varna Ashram system, so that such things are prevented. So in human society, one cannot kill another person unless there is valid reason, like war or self-defense, etc. And if one does so anyway, then one gets punished by the king. So this way the king protects the human beings by instituting certain laws. So then the laws also extend to the animals. So the animals also have to be protected. So there are rules for feeding animals. If one is, one cannot eat one's meal unless one has fed one's animals first. So you have to feed all your cows and horses first, then you can eat. Don't leave them hungry. So you'll find that rule in the scriptures. So in this way they take care of the animals or whatever. That, of course, is the domesticated animals. And then we have the wild animals. So, of course, we see that the chapter goes out hunting. And he kills some deer or whatever, wild animals. And there's stories in the Mahabharata, even in Bhagavatam, how people go out, the kings go out hunting. Arjuna and Krishna went out hunting in the forest, yeah? And they kill all these animals. Kshatriyas do that. They go out and hunt for animals in the forest. At the same time, the scriptures also say that the king should not be addicted to hunting. If it becomes an obsession with him and he's just killing animals recklessly, that also is wrong. So it has, it's restrictive. And it's done in a certain way. There's rules for that also. As we see Murghari, he was a hunter. He didn't follow the rules properly. So he was half killing the animals and leaving them wounded, etc. So everything is done in a proper way. And it also has a purpose. So the kshatriya is not there simply to recklessly kill animals. He has a purpose in mind when he does that killing of the animal. In terms of animals, yes, also protection. And then again, plants. So normally we don't think of plants in the same way we think of animals or human beings. But we'll see in the Dharma Shastras also, one of the punyas is to plant trees. Planting forests, planting trees, this is considered a very good punya. And of course, those who are doing agriculture, they are nurturing the plants. They are cultivating crops all the time. So the whole varna is dedicated to nurturing the plants and caring for the cows. So this is what we have protection of the plants also. And wild plants also, again, unnecessarily, they cannot be simply destroyed. They're also protected by the king. So in this way the system operates under the king so that no one recklessly destroys any level of human life or animal life or plant life. Everything is carefully protected. So there's a good reason for that. If there's an imbalance created by just over destruction of the plants or the animals, whatever, the whole system gets upset. And when that happens, then everyone suffers. So the safety measure is that the king implements Dharma and makes sure that the people follow it. And when those rules are not followed, the king may not understand the rules properly, so he may be careless. Or he may be a demonic king who doesn't care for Dharma, so he may not implement the rules. So in that case, what happens is that everyone must suffer. So that example is given in the first canto of Bhagavatam, in the story of Parikshit Maharaj, who was maybe the last great king, or the second to last great king. So he made sure that Dharma was intact in his kingdom. And then he saw a little bit of adharma creep in because he saw the personification of Kali attacking the bull, which is Dharma, which means that Dharma was being produced. In Kali Yuga, we have only one quarter of Dharma left. And consequently, three quarters of Dharma. Which means it's not a very good situation. Nobody gets protection, the human beings, animals, or plants. Therefore, that is represented by the earth. The earth suffers as a result of lack of Dharma. Which means if earth suffers, the earth doesn't give any produce anymore. just like the cow. If the cow is happy, the cow gives milk. If the cow is suffering, it does not give milk. So the earth is represented by the cow. This is a common symbol in the Bhagavatam. In the Pariksit story, the cow represents the earth. Again, in the story of Prithu Maharaj, in the fourth canto, the cow represents the earth. Again, the earth was not giving. So then Prithu got angry. He ran after the cow here and there. He tried to capture the cow and punish her, because she wasn't yielding her products. So there's a reason why the cow does not give. The earth does not give, because there's something wrong. That is, dharma is not protected, not being followed properly. Imbalance is happening. Therefore, she refuses to give. So therefore, no more food. Plants don't grow properly. Minerals are not there properly. Lack, great lack. So there's a relationship between dharma and productivity of the earth. What this means is that people have to control their senses. Dharma is there to make people control their senses. To some degree, they have to control their senses. So they can't overkill animals or overkill the plants. If they do so, then there's a big disturbance in the society, and then earth does not get properly. So the earth may react in different ways. It may stop giving food, which means no more water, for instance. So you don't get the water at the proper time. Of course, the opposite is you get too much water, everything gets flooded. So periodically, see, there are floods in the Bhagavatam. Big floods come along at the end of the Manu's period, the end of the Brahma. And of course, within each Yuga cycle, then we'll also have periodic destructions and floods and whatever taking place. So bad climate or whatever, so that nothing grows properly and everyone suffers. So the main reason for this is decline of dharma. So we see in Satyuga everything very nice, peaceful, enough food for everyone. Because dharma is bad. Kali Yuga is the opposite. One quarter dharma left, therefore also a big struggle too, to get all the food necessary for everyone. And the earth does not give as much as it should for the population. So that's because dharma is not followed. So therefore the balance is there before, between the human conduct and the earth and its produce. So everything is related, the plants, animals, human beings, dharma, all have a relationship. So that is represented not only by the laws that instituted not to put waste and kill excessively, but also by the principle mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita that one must do sacrifice or yajna, one must worship, one must offer to the Supreme Lord. So in other words, we have to recognize that the giver of everything is the Supreme Lord. So that is there for the human being. The animals cannot do so, or the plants cannot do so. But the human being, because of his higher intelligence, he has a responsibility to recognize what is the cause of everything, and then make an offering to the Lord. And then if one does the offering, the yajna, then, this is one example, then the rain falls. If the rain falls, then you get crops. If you get crops, you can harvest the crops and get food. And then you can eat the food and you can sustain your body. And then it doesn't stop there, because again, then you have to do another yajna, and more rain, and then more food. So in this way, the cycle of yajna and the food production goes on. So this is also part of dharma, not as controlling the senses, but actually worshipping the Supreme Lord. So, this is the rule for the human being. So it is the king who must have this understanding. So, when the demons get control, then they don't believe in this. Why we have to worship the Supreme Lord? How is this? We don't even know about him. And we have no proof that he does anything for us, so why we should give anything to him. So let us simply work very hard and carry out production, etc., and go on that way. That is, of course, okay in one sense, if one's senses are controlled and one does not overly exploit. The problem, however, is that this is a human tendency, and particularly in Kali Yuga, that people get greedy. They're very, very greedy to get more wealth. They're greedy to enjoy Kali Yuga. So therefore, they will, in order to get money, they will take extreme measures, and they will destroy parts of the earth, or the trees, or the plants, or the animals, or whatever, in order to make money. In this way, they cause great problems for the whole earth. Okay? So they temporarily get a nice profit and enjoy it. Long term, everybody suffers. The whole earth suffers. So this is the intolerable situation where Adharma is prominent and authorized as the system of government. Then we'll have more and more problems. So they must always struggle to keep things going, because they're operating on the principle of Adharma, therefore it's more difficult to get everything. Everything is not supplied properly, so they have to keep struggling and struggling and struggling. And when the struggle becomes too much, then they go out and attack somebody else and have a war and try to steal everybody else's products. So this is the way in which things are done. So this is the principle of Adharma. Simply trying to control things in order to get more enjoyment for oneself. This is how the Adharma kings operate. So, here the moon god is telling the Prachetas that they're in a royal family, which comes from Svayambhuva Manu. And he, Svayambhuva Manu, is empowered as a vibhuti of the Supreme Lord to institute Dharma for the people of the earth. So therefore, Soma is advising that the Prachetas in this line should also follow those principles of Dharma. And therefore they cannot unnecessarily kill the trees. Of course their intention was good. Too many trees, then it was difficult to have the crops. But if you destroy all the trees, then this will create suffering for everyone. So Soma therefore advising them to be very careful on how much they destroy.
What's that?
When there is a war,
yeah.
And they kill opposite each other. So they do they get complications or they don't know because there's a war.
Yeah. Well, the problem with war is if it's just based on a dharma. They were just having a war to grab everybody's thing. We cannot say that you're free from karma in that sense. It's an unjust war. Of course, there's a problem because the soldier on both sides is sworn to protect the country and they're given that freedom. Okay, you kill, you don't get any crime. And so the Americans go to a country and they kill, they don't get any crime for that. And they say, well, we're protecting our country by going there and fighting or whatever. And similarly, the other side, whoever's fighting there, they'll tell their people, okay, you don't get any crime, you kill the Americans. So that's, of course, this relative. But if the whole thing is a dharma, then everybody more or less shares in the sinful reactions. They're not absolutely without some responsibility. So that, of course, is why in war, generally the soldiers, they do have problems later on because they understand that they didn't do the proper thing. They killed all these people, but they question the real motive behind it. And therefore, they feel very guilty for all that killing. Why do we have to do the killing in the first place? Okay, the reasons weren't there for it.
And there are other interests in the world.
Huh?
If this killing and war goes on, there are other interests in the world.
Yeah. Modern wars are all based on greed.
Correct.
Oh, well, the scorpion is said to attack without reason. So therefore, you know, we can't say, well, it's a nice animal and he won't do any harm to anybody, so therefore, but then if he's there and then he just stings anybody, that even if the person's not attacking him, then what to do? So therefore, one takes safeguard and kills him ahead of time.
When I was mentioning about the following dharma and protection, so in this verse about the dharma and protection, like you know, there is dharma, yesterday is dharma. What are these words about the sarva dharma paritarjya, other than all forms of duty? Sarva dharma paritarjya, other than all forms of duty, just surrender to me. Mara, this is, this, I'm learning this, you believe for Mara as a pure devotee, Mara, but
it means that the principle of bhakti is higher than other principles. So if you take the bhakti and you give up other things, there's no sin incurred by doing so. One can follow if it's not contradictory to the principles of bhakti. But nevertheless, bhakti is the main element of activity for the devotee. Whatever is favorable for developing a relationship with Krishna, we can follow. If it becomes unfavorable, we don't follow it. Cow represents the earth.
Jantra Sishu Bandhaki
Jai
Jantra Samaraki
Jai
Jantra Sishu Bandhaki Jai
Jantra
Sishu Bandhaki
Jai.